if you're feeling a lot of pressure to be a certain way, check the environment that you're in, because if you have the opportunity to leave, or you know, even within your city, choose different places to be and collect in, do that, because that was huge for me and it may be huge for you.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. I don't have any significant updates this week. I've just been up at the Forest Retreat House, really taking in and enjoying the downtime and detoxifying my body off of all of the IVF hormones. If you've been following that journey, I've been doing it through very strictly the Care and Herd protocol, which you can go back and listen to that podcast episode. We have it linked below, talking all about the protocol. We also had Unique on last week talking about her experience through it, and I'm feeling fantastic. I think I'll probably do an episode or something about my entire fertility journey at some point, but at this point, I'm just really getting my body back into homeostasis, which feels honestly incredible, and I'm loving it up here. It's so beautiful. This is the point where we start to prepare to open up all of the outdoor amenities again at the house April 1st. So that means that we've had everything winterized because it snows up there and it freezes at night. And therefore, as of April 1st, we'll be opening up the clawfoot tubs again outside and the outdoor showers, the hammock will go back out. So anybody who's been thinking about booking it through the spring and summer, which are obviously the most, the busiest times, you certainly want to get on it. We just have a little bit of time left in those spring and summer, and the fall's pretty open still, but spring and summer have booked up significantly. So you'll definitely want to check out the link below for the calendar. And otherwise, I'm just gearing up when I get back to LA to go on tour. I head over to Vancouver, and that's going to be in March. I can't wait to see everybody up there. It's Vancouver, BC. We're going to have an awesome gift bag. I'm stoked. I'm staying 4 nights in Vancouver. I love Vancouver. There was a point where I would spend quite a bit of time there when I dated an amazing Canadian actor, and I haven't been back. I think it's been, geez, like 12 or 14 years. So I can't wait to get to know the city again. My friend Natalie Miles is up there. Also, Layla Delia, who you guys have heard on this podcast, will be doing a speaking tour with our partners, Conscious City Guide, the night following mine. So we're all going to meet up for dinner. And yeah, I'm stoked. So if you want to grab tickets for that, there are still some left. I know that that's selling out very quickly as we're getting closer. And I imagine, which usually tends to happen, the moment that I get up there and I post about it on Instagram, they sell out, like they're gone. So if you're in Vancouver or your friends are a family and you're wanting to check that out, you have the heads up here first to grab those tickets before they sell out when I arrive there that weekend. Let's get into today's guest. I'm so excited. Today is Parker Middleton. I saw Parker in the Facebook group. Many of you have, and he shared his My Magnetic story in there with photos of manifesting his partner. And it was so heartfelt and beautiful. And he posted the sweetest photos of them, and you could feel the love. It was like goofy photos, you know, night on the town photos, and just falling in love. And I commented, you know, I can feel the love through this. And I think it was like a swarm of comments in there of excitement for him and watching his journey. And he was so explanatory of how he followed the process of doing it that I instantly reached out to Jessica, our producer who co-hosts this with me, Jessica Gill. And I was like, we have to get Parker on a process episode. He is so expansive for so many. So today, to round out our month of love and relationships, Parker's going to share his journey of calling in his dream partner, how he unblocked the programming he picked up, found clear expanders and passed tests, including the ones in career that led him to his current partner in the most magnetic ways. And I just have to really invite Parker as, you know, someone from the South, you know, who's really demystifying societal programming and stepping up as an expander. I'm so grateful to have you in this community and so honored to have you share your story. For anybody else who is inspired by this episode, it was the month of love. We tripled the Unblock Love workshop, which I imagine Parker used for this process of manifesting in his partner. And it will be until the end of February. So really, this is the end of the spot where you get to use the Manifest Love all caps code to receive $40 off of Unblock Love, which now has scripts in it. So how to text back to set boundaries, to pass tests. We have a whole magnetic online dating day that walks you through that experience of setting up your magnetic profile, how to online date. I mean, we've totally rounded out this workshop. So if this episode and love speaks to you and you find yourself calling in a partner, go ahead and check that out. And we will get in to Parker and Jessica Gill now.
So welcome back to another episode of The Process. Today we have Parker Middleton. Parker, we actually got connected through the Facebook group, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Amazing. And then you submitted for one of our testimonials.
Right. Yeah. So I did that and I was lucky enough to hear back from y'all saying that y'all loved it so much that you'd want to have me on the podcast. So that was like a dream come true. I've always wanted to be on here secretly, but never thought it would be actually like a reality. So yeah, super excited to be here.
That's so cool. Okay, so let's start out. As you know, you're familiar with the format and the podcast. What is your cultural upbringing and background?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised, or actually I was born in Louisiana, but raised in Mississippi. I lived there most of my life. I lived in Spain for a little while during college, during an exchange semester. And then I ended up moving here to Dallas. But in terms of like other things, I'm a manifesting generator and with the sacral authority. So a lot of like, thoughts going on in terms of like manifestation and decision making. And then for astrology, for the big three, I'm a Pisces sun, Pisces moon, and a Gemini rising. So
how cool.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps any listeners out there kind of figure me out, because I'm still trying to figure out what all that means as well.
Yeah, yeah, same. I'm like, I think I know, but I'm learning more and more as I go along as well.
Exactly.
So you're a student right now, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm currently studying at the University of Texas at Dallas. And there I'm studying accounting and business analytics.
How cool. What brought you to study that?
Yeah, so it kind of took like a non-traditional route. So back in Mississippi, I studied at Mississippi State University and I studied all sorts of things. I changed my major a million times. I was from like pre-med to communication to mechanical engineering. And by the time I had scholarships and I was just like trying to get out, I just came out with like a general business degree and Spanish degree. And I wanted to do consulting and I thought, okay, with like a little bit of business and I know how to speak Spanish very well, maybe I can get into consulting somehow. But then once I started talking with people, they were saying, if you really want to get in, what would be great is if you studied accounting and finance. And I had already studied accounting a little bit in college. So I thought, okay, where can I find a good place to study accounting again without having to do another 4-year degree? And came to UT Dallas and it's been amazing so far. So it's kind of cool because I feel like a pretty creative person, but accounting's actually been pretty good to pick up. And I kind of feel like I have the best of both worlds in that aspect.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know that's something a lot of creatives kind of struggle with, is like figuring out that box of how they can tap into their creativity, but doing a more like pragmatic role. So
right,
that's
exactly,
awesome.
Yeah.
You're able to blend the two.
Thanks. Yeah.
So walk us through kind of how you were introduced to TBM through almost 30, correct?
Yeah, right. It was through almost 30. I've been like a lover of podcasts for so many years. And, you know, each person, you know, has different guest stars and stuff. And so I used to listen to things like, you know, The Lively Show and more like Abraham Hicks things. And then I got introduced to Almost 30, which is like different and fun. And then through Almost 30, I found To Be Magnetic and Lacey's work. And it kind of threw me for a loop because everything I had kind of learned was so not in direct opposition to what she says, but it just was more realistic and more fun what she was saying. And yeah, it seemed like it actually was working. And so I was thinking, okay, this is so different. I have to like kind of figure this girl out and see what she's really talking about here. And so I listened to a bunch of podcasts and then I was like, okay, I've got to get a Pathway subscription and took the plunge. And so far it's been so amazing. So I'm really grateful for finding your stuff.
That's awesome. I don't know if you might remember at this time, but like, was there something specifically that you saw that you were like, okay, that's it. Like, I need to sign up now.
I'm trying to think. So I was in a, like, I was doing an internship. I found her work April of 2019 or March, April of 2019. And during that time, I was doing an internship that had a lot of like monotonous work and, you know, a lot of free time. And I just was kind of feeling like really emotional and unsure about different things. And, you know, at that point, I didn't even know like if I was going to be accepted into this university or not. And just a lot of things were up in the air. And so I was kind of seeking a way to have some sort of control. And what I was getting from other, you know, types of like programs that I'd mentioned prior, like I didn't really get a lot of, I don't know, like support of what I was really wanting. It was a lot of just like positive thinking. And so I guess it was just a culmination of feeling a little lackluster in life and wanting something more and feeling like you do have power to make choices and decisions and that you like can get what you want ultimately, and that having desires isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like you don't have to become, you know, like a Buddhist monk or something and just have no desires and just sit there and try to be happy. So it was kind of just like a lack of nothing, you know, or like having nothing to, I'm trying to think of how to say this but the best way, but just being a little lackluster in life and wanting more. That's how, I guess, what caused me to take the plunge on that.
I love that. And thanks. And I think because TBM has very clear like action steps in how to kind of take control instead of just like thinking positive, which is very passive.
Right. And for me, like I definitely don't, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's good to like enjoy the surprises, but I just felt like, you know, if I want something and it's actually a desire of mine that I think would be great, you know, it shouldn't be wrong for me to kind of chase after it or, you know, I don't know. Just it seemed like too weird to try to be in the vortex all the time. You know, like, what does that even mean? So yeah, so it's been great. And then I started casting my list and, you know, figuring out what that meant and getting realistic about my desires and what's kind of fleeting and what's kind of something that I actually want and not some type of like keeping up with the Joneses type of desire.
So what were some of those things that you maybe upon first like draft of your list, you were like, yeah, I definitely want this. And then looking a little bit deeper, noticing, oh, this might be ego. Oh, this might be programming. Do I actually want this? Like, what were some of those things that kind of came up for you?
Yeah. So I guess like some immediate thoughts were like, oh, like I want like a super hot, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, like just amazing, beautiful, like exciting, and just kind of like maybe a little bit of a bad boy or bad girl type, or like, you know, some other programming, maybe like I was wanting, oh, like this, let's get this perfect job and you stay there for 30 years and you just get set up. And those are the things that I immediately, you know, kind of thought, oh, this is what I'd want. But then upon really kind of thinking, okay, what do I like? What's your true authentic self? Like, what do they kind of want? And how can you make them happy and still satisfied? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, thinking, okay, you know, you don't have to have like this exact picture of like what kind of person that you're wanting to be with. Like for me, I'm a non-specific manifester. And so kind of picking out qualities that I knew were non-negotiables was huge for me. And then in terms of jobs, like, you know, what, instead of just trying to like find your passion per se, it was more of like, what sounds exciting for now and what seems logical to like set me up for the future, like where I can be able to pivot. So for like example, like accounting, like a lot of people are like, oh, get an accounting degree because then you could be a CPA and then you could just do people's taxes. And it's just like the same thing and it's easy and, you know, you could become an expert. And I've seen that role and it's not something that I necessarily want. Like I don't really want to be in an office all day, every day doing the same thing. Like I want to, I'm using a desire, like getting an accounting degree to do consulting or something like that, so that I can like get knowledge about a certain field and really go after it that way. So it's kind of like, I guess for me, going after things that, I don't know, leave the future to be like open and like instead of being so concrete. I guess what the program that I had received a lot was trying to make decisions that make the rest of your future so concrete and so foreseeable and so quote unquote easy. So I guess it's kind of a hard question to answer fully, but I hope that helps a little.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you kind of had the programming of like, I have to set up for my future ASAP now, right. And I have to have all the answers right now. And it sounds like in the journey of sort of crafting even the first list for your job, you realize, okay, I don't need, especially because, you know, TBM work calls for you to be crafting in the micro.
Right.
So this isn't necessarily your ultimate goal. It's just the goal for right now. And I think that's, especially as an MG, like that's probably really important to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, that's what's so great about the program is because you can learn more about yourself. You know, like it was a lot of like the shedding of these like, you know, I'm going to have to make these, you know, 10-year plans, 5-year plans, 20-year plans, whatever. Whereas TBM is very like, you know, what can you do in the next 3 to 6 months, 6 to 9 months that is something that you want and is like practical and foreseeable, and you have expanders to help you out in that aspect. And, you know, for me, yeah. And so like, there are plenty of lists that I, you know, I've trashed before where like I write this huge, like, you know, 1-page, 2-page of this list that I want. When in actuality, then I read later on, it's like, no, make it micro. And then I'm like, oh, scratch. And, you know, make more of like a paragraph than, you know, 2-3 pages of, you know, these desires that have been put in your head. And so that's been really helpful, kind of getting a clearer idea of what, you know, what do you actually want and what could you actually start to get now? And then you build that trust muscle.
Yeah. So for someone who's manifesting non-specific, what did your list for a partner look like? And what did your list for career look like? Like what were some of those items that you had on there?
So for like a partner list, I knew that I was like a non-specific manifester and that I couldn't, or that I probably shouldn't be super specific because it maybe doesn't matter. It's not to my strength. And so I did more of things of how I knew I wanted to feel with those people. So I knew that I wanted them to make me laugh and that I wanted to be happy with them and that I could, you know, feel proud of their work and show them to my friends and family and not have any shadow around who I was dating because, you know, being bisexual and from the South, it's just kind of like, you know, there's already that inherent shadow that you've been taught to like be ashamed of, you know, if you're dating a girl and you also like guys and you don't want like to bring that up in the relationship, or you know, if you're dating a guy and you're still living in the South or whatever, how that could be. And so I try to do away with those things and just think, how do I want to feel with them? I want to feel proud and happy and excited, and they surprise me and they listen, and kind of a lot of things like, you know, I'd had a couple of dates early 2019 that just were so terrible, and the people that I met, you know, on the surface, they looked awesome. They seemed like perfect on paper. And then when I actually met them, it was a little, it's not exciting, or, you know, they were little douchebags or not nice people. And so I kind of took those experiences of what I had that were negative and try to say, okay, I definitely don't want that. I want something else. And when I crafted my list, it was, I guess, pretty vague. And it sounds like, okay, everybody wants, you know, a partner that listens, or everybody wants a partner that's exciting and surprises you. But that was, I guess, what was important to me. And I put it on paper, and it was exciting to look back, you know, so many months later after I had, you know, manifested a partner and look back and think, oh, look at this like random piece of paper that I found in my closet, Bryce, that's his name. Like, this is you, like to a T. And it's so cool to think that I could say, this is what I want, and then go after it and get it. It was cool for him too, because he's like, wow, like how kismet, you know, like I, you know, here I am just thinking this is a normal interaction, and then it turns out to be so amazing. And then there's a list that you made, and those qualities that I have are on the list. Like, it's kind of like witchy almost. Like,
it's very practical magic.
Yeah, totally. So it was pretty cool. And then that's as awesome. For a job list, I just knew that I wanted to feel, I guess that's maybe where I keep going back to, you know, how do I want to feel versus what actually is present? So I knew I wanted to feel freedom in a job and feel like I was able to travel and there wasn't huge time constraints necessarily on like, you have to be from here to here. And it's very strict. Like I never wanted anything like that. And I ended up getting an offer for an internship, you know, a couple months later after starting Lacey's work with a national accounting firm and or an international one. And it was so amazing because I didn't think I could ever get something like that. I never thought, you know, 12 months before I even got the internship, I was in like a super bad rock bottom. I just graduated college and had, you know, zero to little prospects about what I could do for after. And I was living with my parents and this was all was terrible. And so, you know, then fast 46 months or so, starting Lacey's work, and then another 6 months later, getting an offer for an international firm. And it just was so amazing. And it all went back to like those, the list, you know, whether I wrote it down or it was like a conscious thought, I knew like my values and I ended up getting them, you know, after, you know, passing tests and recognizing this is a test and, or this is some type of magic dark that I'm having to go through and kind of being aware of the situation and the process and being excited about it too, because sometimes, you know, like Lacey would talk about, you know, when you're really close to a manifestation, whenever, say, people start coming out of the woodwork that are just so, you know, out of left field, out of your past, and there to kind of tempt you almost. For instance, like in terms of partnership, I had it like this summer, I had a lot of people come out and text me and want to hang out or, you know, for me to come over. And it just all was totally, you know, not what I was wanting. And I had to keep saying, no, 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 like, I don't want that. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to respond to this message. Even though maybe the past me would have been lonely and wanted, you know, attention or to hang out with someone and just kind of be like, you know, I'm wanting a partner right now. I'm wanting someone that's awesome. And I'm not going to settle for these terrible guys and girls that, you know, aren't worth it in the end. And what was really interesting is Lacey talked a lot about the love and money connection. And what was so weird, I think I put this on the Facebook post or maybe in the comments, was that in the past I've had really great jobs, like part-time jobs growing up. And then this past year, I had one boss that was so awful after starting the job, like, you know, within a week or two, he turned out to be a monster. And I just ended up leaving. Like, I just like emailed him saying, hey, like, I quit. Like, I can't do this really. Yeah. And it kind of felt energetically like I was just tucking my tail and leaving because I was so scared of the situation. And at the end of the summer, after doing this work for several months and learning about, you know, once you encounter, you know, similar situations that these tests are presenting themselves again, it's probably a time for you to try to pass them and get past it. So I came across another boss. This time it was a woman and she was just so awful and, you know, wanted within like 1 or 2 weeks of working there, I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like she's threatening to like choke me and threatening to like,
Yeah,
I know. It's wild. And it was a woman that was just a few years older than me. So I felt like when I first met her, I was like, oh, she's so cool. But then starting, you know, her threatening to like choke me because I sent an email to a woman in the office that she didn't like about something that was totally random or telling me to like hide receipts and like a few financial document things that I knew we should have sent to our accountant. And so I like would take secret notes of all these things that were happening. I was like, this is getting to be too much. And so I thought, oh, wow, this is a test again. This is just like my earlier boss from earlier this year. Terrible work environment. But the first time I like tugged my tail and left and didn't want to see them ever again. And this time I had the opportunity to say, you know, I could like quit on the spot and just leave, which is very low vibe and just, you know, has a lot of shame around it. Or I could approach the woman and say, hey, or and say, I don't like the way that I'm being treated here. And I don't think that this is what these things are happening that are right. And so I'm going to have to like, you know, put in my 2 weeks notice. And, you know, and do it more of the proper way that I knew I wouldn't have shame around. And she said, actually, you could just leave. And thank you for letting me know. And so that was great. So I still got to leave, you know, that same day, even though I was feeling like I wanted to leave so bad, like and just scream and run and not say anything to her. Yeah. But I confronted her and passed that test. And a few days later, I met my boyfriend, Bryce, my current boyfriend.
My gosh.
Yeah. So it was crazy. And luckily, and, you know, for those listening, when I quit the job, I already had an FU fund in place. So I felt, you know, okay to leave. It wasn't like, you know, oh, this is terrible. I need to leave. And I have nothing to like support myself. I definitely have money to support myself, thankfully. And so I was able to make that decision. But I think energetically, the most important part was confronting her face to face and looking her in the eye and saying, you know, I can't be treated like this. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to leave. And then just a few days later, meeting someone that, you know, blows your socks off. And you're just like, how does this person even exist, you know, as a potential partner? So it was really exciting.
That's amazing. I want to point out too, like, so the fact that you were able to recognize that you, when you left the first job and the first boss, that you didn't feel like you left in your worth. Like, exactly. So for, and this is why, like, it is so individual to each person, because you know internally whether you feel like you were living up to your full potential and your true authentic self, or if you were hiding or staying small in certain cases. So for someone else, quitting might be them in their highest, fullest potential, but you know, because I didn't face and tell this person directly how I felt and how I felt it was wrong, I didn't feel like I was standing up for myself, you felt small. And so having that test come up, especially while you're calling in a partner, because love and money are so interconnected, you sort of standing up and vocalizing, hey, this isn't right, I'm not going to just sit back and pretend everything's okay, really sort of said like, oh yeah, he's totally in his worth to call in what he wants and what you want to have in a partner. I think that's so beautiful and such a cool dynamic of like the test. There's no failing a test. Like they do truly come back and you're faced with another opportunity. It might be in a different way, but they still are able to come back to face them again.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great point. You know, I always, when I heard about passing tests earlier on, before I like really, you know, had listened a lot, I was like, oh my God, failing a test, like that's terrible. And, you know, then y'all actually started talking about, there's not really failing tests. It's just, you know, passing it later, hopefully, you know, later in the future. And so getting to your manifestations, isn't about like, there's not a time pressure on it. You're either going to pass the test and, you know, get it more quickly, or you have to pass the test later on and maybe the manifestation comes later. And it's not necessarily about, oh, like failing or this or that. It's, so I totally agree. That's a great point.
And there's something you learn at every phase of it too. Like I'm sure even leaving that first job, you were like, oh, I wish I would have stuck up for myself, but you know, at least I'm out of there. And at least I did this, you know, so you are picking up things along the way. I am curious, is there something that you picked up or learned in going through some of the workshops or the DIs where you realized that you were not standing up for your worth in relationships and demanding what you wanted, similar to the energetic dynamic with this kind of toxic boss?
Yeah, totally. That's a great question, actually. So in the workshop, so the ones that I mainly did were how to manifest and like reparent, which is now called inner child for those who are starting out. Yeah. So I learned through the DIs that I had a lot of fear and still do kind of have a lot of fear whenever I go into that hypnotic state. Like when Lacey first starts talking to you and you are trying to like drift away, there's a lot of prompts that like would scare me. And I was so confused when I would, you know, come out of them, be like, why was I so scared of, you know, she would say, you know, go into the ocean and like go deeper. And so there's like no light and it would freak me out so bad. And I learned that through this, that I have a lot of fear about certain things and unconscious anxieties that I'm not confronting. Cause it seems like you're such in a sleep-like, childlike, dreamlike state at that time. Yeah. And so that was really, really huge for me, just like in terms of the process of doing a DI. And then actually for what came up or what has come up, I guess that's a great question about the dynamic between having an authority figure that's not treating you correctly or, you know, not treating you the way that you think you should be treated, and then sticking up to them, or sticking up for yourself. I've been kind of nervous about actually talking about this on the podcast because I know my parents will probably listen, but I, you know, just to be fair and to be completely honest and candid, you know, sometimes I had a bit of trouble talking to my mom. And, you know, sticking up for myself. My parents are divorced and there was a lot of, I guess, like backbiting growing up. They divorced when I was six and I'm the firstborn of five. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of hers, mine, and ours going on. So like not all of the five or my mom's or all of them are my dad's. So, but yeah, it's a lot of kids. But I remember growing up, there was a lot of like, you know, you need to stick up for yourself and tell him or her this or that. you know, coming from different, you know, one parent kind of talked to the other parent through me and feeling helpless and like I couldn't really, you know, how do you talk, like, you know, stick up for yourself to your parent when your parents are supposed to be on your side, on the same side together. And so that was huge, kind of going through that and, you know, thinking that your parents are not perfect and coming to that conclusion. And I know in the DIs that the point is not to necessarily find problems with your parents, especially an inner child, find problems with them and blame them for everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not everyone's perfect. And so it was great for me to go back to that, that childlike state where, you know, Lacey says that everything kind of seems more black and white and it's either all or nothing. They think in such absolutes. And so going to my childlike brain and, you know, thinking back on those memories of certain interactions that I've had with them and thinking, you know, how does that make me feel? What was I really wanting in that situation? How did it impact me later in life, you know, in terms of having a voice or saying this or that? And even now thinking about it, like it still kind of makes me like a little jittery to think about standing up to my parents or to say something to one or the other and really speaking my mind. But what's been great is, you know, eventually like when you become an adult, like you start to cut the money ties. So it's like, at least there's no strings for someone to pull in terms of, you know, cutting you off on certain things. So yeah, I've been able to get like a lot of healing in that aspect of, that's why I think inner child's been huge for me. I probably should do it again and then move into shadow. But yeah, I hope that answers your question. There's just, yeah. So I think the boss thing and sticking up to any type of authority figure definitely goes back to me having to learn to stick up for myself to my parents, whether that was in real life or through the, what's it called? Reprogramization of like what we did, but what we do in the DIs.
Totally. Do you feel like you noticed in previous relationships that you had a similar dynamic with some of those people that you were attracting in before you found your partner now?
Yeah, totally. So like a lot of people pleasing. And so, yeah, so that was huge. Luckily, my current boyfriend's so amazing and just like so supportive. And there just feels like nothing toxic. Like it just feels so easy and chill. And I don't feel like I have to entertain him or, you know, watch for his emotions and be very cautious and like tiptoe, because I feel like that was really reminiscent of how I felt growing up sometimes, of having to tiptoe around certain situations with a parent. And so that was great to like be able to realize, oh, like, you know, I can be myself fully and totally and not have to tiptoe or walk on eggshells and feel more like myself. And, you know, if I do have a problem, that I can speak up and have those hard conversations and be calm, and that having a hard conversation, you know, what I'd been programmed like growing up is that having hard conversations are either A, swept under the rug at one house or at another house. You know, having a hard conversation means that you're going to get yelled at and that it's going to be a fight and that you're going to have to raise your voice. And so it's been really beautiful to meet a different person who's separated completely from my family, who doesn't react, you know, and like when we do have difficult conversations, they're calm, or, you know, it's okay to cry in front of them if something were to happen. And that at the end of the day, like we're both on the same team, you know, I'm not going to leave just because I disagree with you, or, you know, I'm not going to cut you off. Luckily there's nothing in our relationship where there is a dynamic like that, but yes, yeah, so it's been really amazing to kind of grow and, shed off old programming with the DIs. And then also with this, this new guy, he's pretty great.
Definitely.
I am quickly interrupting this episode that's highly expansive to share a testimonial from The Motivation, which is a compilation of everything our Pathway members have manifested so far, linked below if you would like to read more to be expanded. Hello, fellow manifestors. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe I'm going to type this, but I manifested my partner. I've been doing Lacey's work and calling in a partner for 9 months now. I purchased How to Manifest, Shadow, and Love. Highly recommend all, but Love was my favorite. It wasn't always easy to stick with, but I'm so glad that I did it. I failed a lot of tests and I gave into my ego more than once, but staying patient and dedicated got me through all of it. This is the partner of my dreams and my complete list. I can feel myself in alignment and the universe is still giving me signs that this is a person for me. Huge thank you to Lacey and her team. Whether you're just starting, working through a test, or the magic dark, I hope you stick with it because this shit works. I love this, especially because this is the month that we're really focused on love. And you know, for anybody out there who hasn't tried it yet and you are manifesting a partner, we just tripled the size of Unblocked Love linked below. And you can use the code all caps manifest love to receive $25 off your purchase. And if you're curious about the other workshops that were mentioned in this, go ahead and use our code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, for $20 off your first month of the pathway, which is our all-encompassing membership program that has every workshop we've created that walks you through every process of manifestation, or to receive $20 off any of the 2.0 a la carte courses.
And then when you first met your partner and you guys connected, I know you said you were like, how does this person exist?
Yeah.
What sort of, for the person who's like, I think I found my person, but I'm not sure, like, could they be the person? What were some of those feelings that sort of came up for you? And did you have any like physical feelings? Like, was there a certain feeling in your gut or your heart or was your head buzzing? You know, everyone has sort of a different reaction to these things, but what sort of came up for you?
Yeah. So I guess for me, it was so weird because I saw him on Bumble originally, and I was looking through his photos and I was like, this guy seems like such a fun traveler. And I don't get the vibe that he's on social media a lot. Like, and so I was looking, so I thought, okay, I can swipe right on him and just like, let it, you know, leave and, you know, never see him again. So I screenshot, the profile and tried to like do like a little reverse lookup on Facebook because I knew his name, his first name, and I knew where he went to school and like his hometown. And so I ended up finding him on Facebook and I messaged him, or I added him actually. And I was like, okay, if he accepts this friend request, you know, maybe he thinks I'm cute or something. He's a little bit interested. So then he accepted him and I DM'd him. And through our conversations, I got to feel like, okay, this guy's so chill. He's so relaxed. He doesn't have like a big ego, like a bunch of douchebags that I've like met in the past. It doesn't feel like a game, which was awesome. And I was like, okay, cool. So like I asked him out to dinner and we went to dinner. And when we first met, it wasn't like, you know, like fireworks or something. It was just like a really great time, like a very chill, friendly time. And it didn't feel like I had to perform. I guess like what was huge for me is I knew that based on my prior experiences, I didn't feel pressure to be a certain way. It was like automatic ease. And calmness, and it just felt easy. Like that's like the best way to describe it. It wasn't just super crazy, amazing, exciting. It just was like a really chill guy, and like all the things on my list, I was like, that's pretty cool. That's like something on my list that I think is important. And then as we got to know each other, I realized, oh, like this guy is not like one of those guys that's like 90% of your list. Like he's like 100%. Like I need to go back to this list to see what else I thought was like really important, just in case I miss anything. And one of the things that was huge for me was he's a good listener. And I just kind of like, you know, put that on the list, you know, as like a little side note. But it was incredible because like he would remember everything I'd said. And sometimes I would say things and not remember that I had said them. And he would bring it up again and be like, hey, like, I remember you said that you liked those like dark chocolate Reese's that are from Whole Foods, like that Whole Foods brands. Like, I hear some or something like that. And like just like little things like surprises. So yeah. I was cute. Like, that's amazing. Like I was like, I think I mentioned that maybe like on the very first day, like a month ago. Like, how did you remember that?
Wow.
So it just was, I guess I wasn't proven wrong like about him ever. It was. So maybe hopefully that helps some people because, you know, you hear in the movies or you see in the movies like, oh, like fireworks and butterflies and just amazing like explosions in your head. But it was just a very calm, easy time. And it just got sweeter and better. And then I went back to the list and I was like, holy crap, like this is everything. This isn't one of those guys or girls that you think, oh, like they have everything but that one thing. Like he has everything. And not to say that he's perfect, like everybody has their, you know, their problems, but you know, everything that I really value and really want, like he had. Mm. So it was really great.
Oh, that like warms my heart. I'm like so excited.
That's great. I'm so glad. Yeah. I was saying, and now he has a TBM subscription, so we're about to get started with him on that. So that'll be exciting, yeah.
You guys can co-manifest together.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
will be amazing.
Totally. We'll update you.
Yes. And then you also mentioned that you had faced some tests before he came through where people were, you know, almost everything on the list, but not quite. Like, how did you face those tests? What did they look like? How did you say no to them? Did you pass all of them? What did that portion of the manifestation process look like?
So this all happened from, I guess, so I met Bryce in August of 2019. And I feel like the process really started around like March. And then I found Lacey's work in April. So in March, I like went on several dates. I was using like Tinder and Bumble and just kind of like, you know, I was in a new city. I just moved to Dallas from Mississippi. And so I was kind of new and wanting to meet new people. And I went on a few dates, three dates actually, with people that either they were super amazing in certain aspects and then really just like lackluster in others, or they just were like, there was just something about them that I just felt like I want to please, like I want to perform. I want to feel like, don't leave. Like I'm cool enough for you to be with me or to hang out. And
very like dog paddling.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it was kind of like, now looking back, you know, when you know your, I guess the things that, the kind of actions that you can go back to that kind of mimic programming that you were given when you were growing up, such as, you know, for me, it was people pleasing and trying to like perform and like be, like kind of portray this image that I want them to think of me. Mm-hmm. When I felt those actions, you know, when I feel those actions now, I know, oh, okay, this isn't right. I need to like stop, pretending and faking. And so with those people, you know, there was like, you know, some disrespect towards me and some of them, or, you know, just making me feel like shit, honestly, you know, and not like they actually cared or that they were engaged or that, you know, maybe I was like a side chick or, you know, mm-hmm. maybe who, and so I guess, yeah, so I feel like I didn't pass those tests necessarily. I could have known, you know, upon first meeting them, I knew that they were not perfect or like everything on my list. But at that point, I didn't really even have a list. I had no concept of TBM. And then I found Lacey's work in April, and stopped going on dates, kind of like took a breather, and took my list and, you know, went on, and I was working and I was living with family at the time. And so that was a great situation. So I was feeling filled up in certain aspects, you know, socially. So I didn't have to feel like I needed to find social interaction other places like Tinder or Bumble or whatever. And then throughout the summer, those people that I kind of talked to in the spring started coming out of the woodwork and just like trying to message me and talk to me or call me. One person even sent me a PayPal of like, cause I had like blocked their number, because I was like, this dude's like so annoying. I don't even want to talk to them. And they sent me a PayPal, like, I had my email somehow. And so they sent me like $10 and like, you can add a note to PayPal. And I looked at my email and I was like, the hell? Like, what kind of dude sends like in order to contact you like a PayPal? And so I said, okay, energetically, you know, I cannot keep this $10. Like even if I were to just like, you know, deposit in my bank, that's to me feels like I accepted or I like, you know, read the message. And so
and you're
I
engaging,
sent it,
yeah,
exactly. And so I was like, I have to push that shit right back. It was so shocking.
Good for you.
Thanks. Yeah. So that was like June or July, and I sent the $10 back. So that was so crazy. And I guess like people, you know, wanting to like, hey, like let's hook up or like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm not into that. I'm looking for someone that fills me up emotionally and mentally and spiritually, not somebody that's just going to like give me a good time for an hour, you know? And right. So I was like, that was so, and it was so reminiscent of like, I guess, you know, when I was growing up and like what I was really wanting from people and trying to find, you know, fulfillment through pleasure. And that just wasn't, I knew that wasn't right for me. So I was like, no, I have to say no to these things. It may sound awesome for like an hour, but it's not actually what I want. And I know I'm just going to feel like shit afterwards. So I said no a million times. And it felt like sometimes lonely because like, you know, if you're saying no to all these social interactions, even if they're innocent, you know, they're with people that aren't who you want to be around. And so sometimes it was lonely and there were times when I just like had nothing to do and I was just at the house, like, alone and had like nothing to do. So, but eventually, you know, it all came to fruition. And I had, you know, the TBM podcast guest to keep me company during those times. So that was cool, and YouTube and everything. But then I passed that test with the job. That was the end of July or the end of August. And then 3 days later after that, met my boyfriend. It was just like so crazy. Like, you know, when I was actually experiencing it, it didn't feel like super kismet. I had to like go back and think, oh wow, like that actually happened 3 days after all these things happened. It's like that's so weird. So there was definitely a rock bottom. There was definitely some tests that weren't passed. And then, you know, a little bit of a magic dark this summer, and then boom, like it came through. And it just is crazy because it's like, wow, everything really does follow the formula. Like, Lacey is so right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, kind of. And then you look, I always recognize it so much when I go and look back through it. I'm like, oh, wow, it checked every single box and went directly in that order.
Totally. Yeah. It's exciting.
And the more you get used to manifesting things through those steps, it's like clockwork. You're like, oh, I know what phase I'm in now. I know what I'm in. Great. Oh, this means this is going to come through. Great. Can't wait.
Right.
But your first view, like big manifestations, you're like, oh, wow, it really did hit everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So pretty cool.
I think it's also great that I love the fact that you pointed out that even though you had the super strong boundary and you were like, I am not entertaining these people, we're done, like closed door, I'm ready for my person. You're communicating with the universe that you're ready. You're not going to settle for these people anymore. That strong boundary is such a key component into bringing the manifestation in. But there is, you know, loneliness, or it doesn't feel always so empowering. It feels like, oh, but like a part of me wants to, but like, I know 100%. I can't.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And I think that's it's okay to feel that loneliness, and it's okay to go through those periods where you're like, I really want to do this, but like, I know it's not good for me.
Right.
Ultimately. And it does get you there so much faster by honoring that.
Totally. I have so many friends that like, or, you know, I've told them my story and, you know, the whole TBM thing and how I manifested Bryce. And they're just like, oh, that's so amazing. Like, I wish I could do that. I'm like, you totally can. If you just like started saying no to that dude that, you know, like we know about, like he's awful for you. And they're like, I know he's bad. I just, you know, whatever. Like, I'm just hard headed. I'm like, okay, like there has to be a point. If you really are serious about making the effort to get something that you want, you have to like know, okay, if I'm stubborn, then I need to set even stronger boundaries for myself. Like, it's at this point, I don't really feel bad. It's kind of like what Lacey says, like, come back to me when you're ready to do the work, because you can't, like, you can lead a horse to water, but, you know, I'm not going to be able to get you to quit texting your ex.
Yeah, 100%. Ultimately, you have to truly want it and to be able to put up those boundaries and to say no to those people, because even just accepting that $10, that could have pushed you back. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And kept that engaged. And it's hard work. It's hard to do that, but it is so worth it. So worth it. I love that. And then talk a little bit about, you mentioned your sort of rock bottom moment. Was that sort of when the second job was kind of coming to a head and everything with your boss was going very intense?
Yeah. So actually it was like almost like, let me think, about 9 to 12 months before. So it was kind of like on an upward, everything has happened kind of like on an upward incline for the better. So my rock bottom was like around between August to October of 2018. I just graduated college in August of 2018. And I had two job offers fall through that were going to take me out of Mississippi. It was like my goal. I wanted to leave the South, go to another place, start a job, and just kind of like start life again. Because I'd already done that in Spain before on my exchange, and I wanted that big city feel. And then after having those two job opportunities fall through, I felt like, the fuck? Like, I've been that guy who's always like picked up things so easily, or, you know, was one of the top of my class. And so here I am after college and not having a job offer felt so shameful and so sad. And like, I had to move in with my parents, and I stayed with them for a while. And actually, this is a great point of like jumping off cliffs. So when I was at that rock bottom, you know, living in small town Mississippi with my family, you know, I loved them and I loved being with them and seeing them, but I knew that wasn't the place for me. And it was really bad for my mental health that I talked to one of my aunts who was living in Dallas and still is living in Dallas. And I was talking to her and she was like, you know, if you want to, you could just live out here with us and maybe, you know, try to apply to a few jobs out here or something. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I would love to. And she's like, yeah, I have a hole upstairs that like we hardly go upstairs. And there's like a sitting room and like a bedroom, and you have your own bathroom. It would be totally separated. You could come hang out with us or have your own space. And I was like, I seriously, like, we'll take you up on that offer. And so I'm so grateful for her. And so I dropped everything and I was like, Mom, Dad, like, I'm going to Dallas tomorrow, which is like a 7-hour drive from Jackson. And so I packed up all my stuff. I fit everything into my little Camry. And and then I left at like 8 a.m. the next morning. I was like, okay, I'm gone. And so it was scary because it was like, I have no idea where I'm. I mean, I know I'm going, but I don't know what's going to be there for me on the other side. Luckily, I had an amazing family support on the other side too. But in terms of job opportunities, I was at that time, my self-worth was so low. I was thinking, ugh, like, you know, I tried here in Mississippi, like, I hope I can try to make it in Dallas. And within a month, I found a really great internship that was not related to the one where the boss was awful, but like it's something totally different that I stayed with. I completed it. It took me about 4 months. It was with a tax accountant. He was so fantastic. And so finally, I was like bringing up my self-worth. And that carried me over into the spring of 2019, which is when I found Lacey's work. So, and then, yeah, that's the rest of history.
I love that. Yeah. I think, too, it's really hard. All of those transitional phases, like when I think there's a lot of like societal pressure of like at this age, we have to be here. And by this age, we have to be here. Totally. That's where a lot of people, at least I've noticed in my friend circle, wind up hitting rock bottoms because they might not be quite aligned with what society says we should be doing at a certain time, whether that's going to college or what we should do after college or getting married or having kids at a certain time or having grandkids at a certain time. You know, there's all of these societal timelines. And when people don't necessarily line up, it's kind of a beautiful moment of like, that's not supposed to be your timeline. The universe is going to rock bottom you out so you can figure out what your timeline is and how it's unique to the world. And
100%. That's so true. Like, you know, for those listening out there, like if I were, you know, we're talking about different timelines, you know, every, I guess, society has their own timeline that they kind of give to you and tell you that you should have. And if I were to stay in Mississippi, what my timeline would look like is I should have found a girlfriend in college. And then I was supposed to get engaged senior year and then get married the summer after I graduate and then have a baby within like a year. Like, and that sounds like so crazy, probably to people that live in bigger cities, but in the South, like I mean, I can't go on Facebook without, you know, somebody that's 21 to 22 getting engaged like almost every month, having babies this young. And, you know, if that's great for you, then that's great for you, you know, if that's what you really want. But if you're trying to judge yourself against a standard that really isn't meant for you, then that's, you know, that's going to suck in the end. And I'm glad that I ended up moving because now I'm in a bigger city where it's totally not the norm. That's not what society is deeming as normal. And so it's kind of like better for me because I think, oh, okay, it's not that weird, you know? And even having like a gay relationship as a bisexual person, like there's some statistic out there that says most bisexual people don't date the same gender or the same sex because there's so much societal pressure to conform. And if you have the opportunity or the choice, be like, oh, well, I'm attracted to both. So I guess I'll just choose, you know, girls if I'm a boy because it's easier and I'll still be fulfilled. You know, being in a society or in a place like Dallas, where it's just so much more open-minded, even though it's in the South, it's now like what the pressure that I feel from the outside is so different and almost non-existent. And so I feel like that too, like, you know, if you're feeling a lot of pressure to be a certain way, check the environment that you're in, because if you have the opportunity to leave or, you know, even within your city, choose different places to be and collect in, do that, because that was huge for me and it may be huge for you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I think that's so, so, so important. I think so many people, you know, wherever they are, whatever their path is in life, you know, need to hear that and need to hear that, like, whatever feels authentic to them, don't feel like they need to shift it or change it.
Yeah, totally.
On that topic, what were some expanders for you throughout this process? Who are some people you look to have inspiration, and where did you find them?
So that's a really good question. I love the expanders like idea. I think it's so practical and so helpful, because a lot of people think like, oh, you know, just find someone to look up to. And when I was little, that didn't really make sense. But now after listening to like finding people, even like partial expanders or micro expanders, I forgot the term exactly, but you know, that's been super helpful. So for me, I guess growing up, like I never really saw many, like if I'm, you know, wanting to attract a partner, I hadn't really seen many gay couples that were quote unquote normal in the South. Like anybody that was in a gay relationship that was open in Mississippi, they were very like very flamboyant or like very different and very eccentric. And that's great. You know, it's if that's who you are, then that's who you are. But for me, I just didn't feel like I really fit into that mold. And that might be even like a totally different topic, you know, Like, I just found out about like the concept of internalized homophobia and how that affects people. But you know, for me, I was like thinking, like, I've never really seen a gay couple that's just like, nobody really cares that they're gay. Like, it's kind of like Ellen. Like, Ellen is like a lesbian, but nobody really thinks like, oh, like, there's that lesbian Ellen. Like, that Ellen's just Ellen. She's like this cool, you know, host. So I was kind of wanting to find like my gay couple version of Ellen. Like, who's just like a gay couple in the community that are, that I've seen before, that's, you know, there's nothing crazy about them, nothing super flamboyant or eccentric or super dark, or, you know, there's no extremes. They're just regular people that like are two dudes or two girls that are, you know, married or dating, you know, and nobody's making a big deal about it. That was something huge for me that I was wanting. And I ended up finding that with, when I was younger, like around 17 or 18, this couple, this Instagram, his name is, Mark E. Miller, and they have a YouTube as well. And they are just like this normal couple that they just both happen to be guys, and they talk about their life on YouTube and Instagram. And so that was really enlightening for me, because I was like, oh, that actually exists. That's cool. And then in terms of having like a partner that like is super fun and exciting, and you could spend a lot of time with them, because I really wanted that. And because I had a lot of programming growing up that like, oh, marriage is hard and marriage takes a lot of work and relationships are just, you know, you see all the memes about, you know, women being tired of their husbands or husbands being like resentful of their wives, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't want that. And I didn't want that narrative to be mine. And so a couple that I really love, their names are Mimi and Alex Icon. They have a YouTube channel, podcast, and tons of Instagrams. They're a beautiful couple. They live in London. They're Canadian. They grew up in other countries, but then immigrated to Canada and then immigrated again to London. And they're just such a beautiful example of a couple that is supportive of each other and loves each other, and they hang out and work together, be entrepreneurs together, and there just not be like a lot of conflict. It could just be easy. And that's actually when I was, you know, when I'm dating, now that I'm dating my boyfriend Bryce, what I see a lot that I'm glad that we have is that our relationship just feels easy like theirs does. Mm. And so that has been great. And then in terms of, I guess, like, you know, I really had so much programming that if you were going to be in a gay relationship, it was just going to be, you know, super extreme and off the wall and like different. And, you know, it couldn't just be like, you know, two guys together or two girls together. So another gay couple that I found that was, I thought were really influential. This guy named Taylor Phillips. He actually went to, he's an Instagram model, but he just seems like so down to earth and so, so cool. He actually went to my rival college, just a few hours away from me. And so it was cool being like, oh, there's that guy. He went to that college and now he's living in New York City and has a boyfriend and it's totally normal and it doesn't feel weird. Like, it, like the only people I knew growing up were just, it just was so different. And so, and not to say that those are bad, you know, I have tons of friends that are flamboyant or more extreme or more eccentric. And if that's them, then that's them. They're living who they're supposed to be. But for me, what I was really kind of wanting, it was nice to see that there was normality. It wasn't just all extremes and black and white. There was tons of gray examples. So that was really what I was looking for. And I think, oh yeah, I wrote down as well, Ellen, just like a gay person that people know and love. And like, you know, if I were to mention Ellen to my grandma, like my conservative grandma, she wouldn't be like, oh, don't talk about Ellen. You know what I mean? She wouldn't be like, you know, like everybody loves Ellen, you know, and she's like this gay person that doesn't define her. I guess that's at the end of the day what I was really looking for. Couples that weren't defined by their gayness and that they were just accepted for, you know, oh, they're like super smart or they're super talented or, you know, that they brought different things to the table besides the fact that they were gay. So that was huge for me in terms of partnership.
I love that. I feel like that's so, so, so expansive for everyone listening. And I also think what's also really cool about how you went about finding some of your expanders is understanding, okay, I'm wanting these expanders because I'm trying to work against a programming that life has to look like XYZ. Yes. Uh-huh. And for me, that's not authentic. For other people, maybe that's amazing, great for them. So excited that they can find those expanders. But for me, it's not authentic. So in order for me to find something that's authentic to me, I need to find expanders who are like almost like bucking the norm of the limiting belief that you picked up.
Exactly. So yeah, it's so true.
I think that's awesome. I think that's really, really inspiring. And we'll list all of your mentioned expanders in the show notes. So everyone can check them out and have new people to follow and and resources and all of that. Yeah, and I think another big component of expanders too is really finding people that you feel mirror parts of your authenticness and mm-hmm. that are really exemplifying the essence of what you want to be like or what you feel like you already are. So you can almost see parts of yourself in the expander without even doing anything. Totally. Like some part of them feels like a part of you in a weird way.
Yeah, no, 100%. That when I was talking earlier about the human design, if you were to go on your human design and look at your authority, I think mine's a sacral, and they talk about a lot of the feelings when you're making decisions have to feel like or aha. And it's kind of like when Lacey talks about the kind of like the aha moment you have when you see an expander, and when you go, like that's kind of like me. Like I can do that. It's the same thing, like just like what you were saying. And that's what was actually huge for me with the way Lacey put that, like the I see that makes sense, the aha, that really resonated with me. So that's how it's like almost kind of like expanders find me instead of I go look out for expanders. You know, if I come across someone, I'm just thinking, wow, I can do that. Then I'm like, whoa, that's an expander. There you go. Like easy. It's fun. And it doesn't feel like laborious.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're kind of just like sitting there Google searching.
Yeah.
Totally. How do I find this person?
Totally.
Yeah. It's almost like calling them in subconsciously as
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Agreed.
And then the last thing I kind of want to touch on was, did you have any pings during this process? And what do pings feel like for you? And how did you maybe utilize them as another tool in your manifestation?
Yes, pings are something that I've been trying to work on. Like I definitely get pings, but sometimes I confuse them for like anxious feelings. And and trying to like differentiate between those things. I feel like I'm really aware of my feelings and my emotions, but sometimes, you know, what does a ping feel like? Like I was trying to differentiate, you know, several months back, and I think I've understood it better. Like, what's the difference between a ping and like this, like almost like OCD, like anxious thought of me needing to do something, like a compulsion? And for me, a ping, so I know it's a ping when I get this kind of like feeling in my chest, like kind of like right at the bottom of your sternum is where I kind of like feel like I get like a nice, oh, that would be awesome kind of thought. It's more of a feeling. That I get, and I see kind of like an action happen in my brain, and I think, oh, okay, that'd be great actually. And it just seems logical and like kind of fun. Or it seems like what I need to do. And then if I have like an emotion attached to it or kind of like a judgment, then, I know that it's probably like a fear-based thing or like a lizard brain type of like back, you know, like the back of your head type of like, where the lizard brain lives, kind of just trying to scare you and make you choose a decision that's not actually based on a ping or like some type of like intuitive process. And for me, that also kind of feels like a little bit more low, like almost in my abdomen. Like something, oh, like for instance, if you're driving down the road and I get this like thought, I don't want to call it a ping, that's like, oh, like take a different route to school or to work. Like that's such a common thing that people use. If it feels like fun, like, oh, that'd be cool. Like, you know, maybe like I can stop by Starbucks or something on the way. It doesn't feel like, I don't know, like some type of emotion or judgment attached to it. I feel like that would be a ping. But if it's more of like, oh, like you should take like go past this light and take the next, you know, exit and like kind of loop back around because like something may happen, you know, like, oh, like maybe there's a wreck up ahead and you're trying to avoid it. Like some type of like weird, like there's like your mind just goes down a rabbit hole. That's not a ping to me. I feel like that's just some type of intrusive thought that is spurred on by, you know, anxiety or like the lizard brain kind of going on.
Love that. I think also your distinction of like where you feel it and how high in your body you feel it, I think is so helpful. Cause I know everyone kind of checks in and feels them in different places. And some of them it's like a sensation in the body or it's just like a voice in their head or whatever it may be. But I think I'm sure there's other people out there that also have that separation of like in your chest versus like in your gut or in your like lower stomach. And it kind of hits you at different places.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Did you have any pings when you were first meeting and dating Bryce?
I'm trying to think. Oh, well, the first immediate ping was definitely when I saw his Bumble profile. It was I mean, I've been on Tinder and Bumble, not anymore. Like I had been on Tinder and Bumble for so long. Like, you know, I'm 23 now, and I started probably when I was like 18 and or 19, just like casually looking and swiping. And so I had been used to it, but when I had swiped or I'd seen his profile come up, I looked through his photos and looked through like what he had put in his profile. And I thought, this dude is different. Like he is like super cool. And I just felt so like there was something there, like something magic. And it felt like, I don't know, like just this distinction. And I knew. I was like, okay, I'm going to screenshot this because I don't want his profile to go like my phone to glitch or something weird. I don't know. So I just like screenshot and save the picture. And then my ping was to kind of like look him up because I was like, this guy doesn't use social media a lot probably. And I was right because like I looked at his Instagram and he hadn't posted like so long. And then I looked at his Facebook, hadn't posted in so long. He doesn't even now, like he doesn't even have Facebook like on his phone, like the app, like if he wants to log in, he'll just use like the browser. And so I just added him. And when a couple of days, went by and he eventually went on Facebook, he added me and then we got to talking. And so when we got to talking about how I ended up finding him, because he was like, how did you find my profile? And I had to explain the story and how it kind of felt weird. He was like, no, that's actually so cool. And that's kind of weird that you knew exactly kind of like how I am in terms of social media. Like I purposely don't have the apps and stuff on my phone because I feel like I'd be so immediately drawn to them and it just like take up all my time. And so I just keep the browser version in case I like want to check in. And so I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, how did I even know that? So I feel like that was an intuitive ping that came up was, hey, reach out to that guy and don't be, like some people get so hung up on, making the first move. And I just kind of felt like, like, fuck it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, he doesn't respond. Like, okay, whatever. There's plenty of people out there. So it was great. And then actually it was crazy. Like, preparing for this episode, I was looking back trying to find good expanders. And that first couple that I listed, the guy's name is Marky Miller. Their original like meeting, like relationship history is through Facebook. Like this guy like came up as a suggested friend. And so he's like, oh, he's cute. So he added him and then, they hit it off. So it was kind of like, did I like mimic what I had seen like 7 years earlier? Like, and just never even knew. Like,
fully utilizing your expanders there.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. Okay. And closing note for everybody listening in, what advice would you have for someone who is looking to call in their partner and just, or even like is waiting for their manifestation to come through, whether that's job or item or whatever it may be? What sort of advice would you give to them?
Yeah. So, in closing, I think mainly it would be to get serious about like what you want. And like, if you have that clarity, if you have the clarity and you think it's practical, cast the list, go through the steps that Lacey's listed out and say, these are my non-negotiables. And these are things that I actually would want. And I think that I could find within 6 to 9 months. And maybe it's not even like finding a life partner, but, going on a date with somebody that, has this, these qualities that you really think are important. And, maybe once you do go on the date, you realize, oh, actually that quality is not important, and you could scratch it. I think having a timeline is really important to not have, and having more fun with the process. So be serious about that. Know where you're falling short, which is what you'll end up doing when you do the DIs. You see your fears, you see your shortcomings, you see where you pick up these programmings. It's actually crazy how, you'll go through the DI and, Lacey will say, think about a certain time when you experienced this and actually where did you pick that up? And you immediately know, which is insane. And so being just really aware and cognizant and do the journal, the journaling, it's like, I feel like the most tedious part because it requires a lot more effort than just like relaxing and listening. But going back through the notes has been so helpful for me, to be like, oh, like actually that's really cool that I picked that up. I totally forgot about that. And then the third thing would be to keep a list of the manifestations that you actually call in, like, related to the huge manifestation that you're trying to, call in, whether it's partner or job or whatever. I think keeping a list, like a tally of, oh, these are the things that I've brought in, is really great for those visual learners or people that are just very visual in general. Because, for me, like when I was preparing this interview, I started listing all the things of the past year, the major things that I had manifested. And I was like, what? This is like 10 things like that are so amazing and exciting. And that just helps your trust muscle, I think, to be able to look at this and say, oh yeah, you know, I didn't have to pay this deposit. I, you know, got a dream apartment. I got to meet this person. I got this blah, 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 you know, all these things, you know, being on the podcast, you know, things that, yeah. Like all these manifestations. And I think that's really, it's like great for your self-worth because it just reinforces on your low days. Like, oh, I can do this. This is amazing. And if I just continue, you know, this is a lifelong journey, and just continue with the process and of being aware and knowing where tests may come into play and knowing how to better pass them.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Parker. This has been amazing. I know this is truly going to expand so many people. And I just, yeah, I'm so proud of you for being so strong and dedicated to this work and really, you know, opening up and going inward. And I just, it's so beautiful.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
It's been truly an honor. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. See ya.
If you found this episode expansive, feel free to leave us a 5-star review to automatically enter yourself into winning 1 year of the Pathway membership. We announce once a month a winner, and we've just announced our last two in a few episodes back. Have a great weekend.